Well, hello everyone, I'm Chaplain John McKernan, and this is our Saturday evening, my time, show, The Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we have, D.L. Moody lined up for tonight. He's going to be preaching to us, thanks to Sister Kathy. So, Sister Kathy, I finally have gotten to D.L. Moody that you sent me.
I knew it was bound to happen.
Okay. And he does resemble D.L.
Yeah, and he sounds like he would sound too, right? To a degree.
Let me listen to it. I mean, D.L. was thems and those and theirs. And
yeah, he murdered the English language, they say.
Yes. Yeah, he only had like a sixth grade education.
Third. He'll tell you in this movie.
Well, I said only like a sixth grade.
Well, only like a six is two-thirds better than three, so.
Okay. Well, we are going to have prayer afterwards for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And depending upon how many people are here and how long we're praying, whatever is left, we will. Oh, I guess you picked up by now that Canaan land is almost in sight. There is the I'm getting a great fondness for it.
Yes, it's the Saturday night theme song.
Yeah, that's what it really is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, guess who's singing it?
Let me see. I bet it's Howard Goodman.
Yeah.
And it is in sight, Chaplain John.
It is. It is in sight. It sure is. Canaan Land. Well, Canaan Land, in case you're not familiar with it, there is a actual physical Canaan Land, and that was the area of Israel today. Back in the day of Abraham's day, it was called Canaan. So the Bible will refer to it as Canaan Land. But it's also, because it's the land of Israel, the promised land, it's also referred to as heaven. It's Canaan Land is another way of saying heaven. But yes. And Sister Sharon, how are you with Canaan Land? Do you like that song?
If I that was the name for Jerusalem and what God had given for us to use, and that's exactly what we do.
Like Zion. Zion is another name for Jerusalem.
Pray. And pray some more.
There's another name for Jerusalem. It's called Ariel.
Ariel.
I think that's like a nickname in the Bible for Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And do we have Gigi and Randy with us today?
John?
Yeah. Hey, Randy.
We've been concerned about the weather today.
Oh, hey, listen. I was really shocked with the tornadoes just north of me. I mean,
I think, aren't you in Harris County?
Yes.
That's where the tornadoes were. We were praying for you earlier.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The county above me is Montgomery, and that's where they were rattling off where these tornadoes hit, and they were like 10 miles north of me, and then 15, 20. Now, they were like, from what I understand, category ones. They weren't like big fives. Category one's bad enough if it hits your house, but that's what it was. It was category ones and twos. And then there was some reported south, but I don't think they hit the ground. I think that they remained up off the ground. The ones that touched down were north of me. So I had them south and north. And of course, when we first moved here, what can I say? My backyard, when you go out the back of my house, it looks like country. It's all heavily, my property has got some real nice trees on it, but outside my property is all heavily wooded. And you can't see too far. As far as you were concerned, you'd be in the country someplace. And that tornado touched down on the other side of that heavy foliage I was telling you about on my property line.
Yeah.
And the tornado went right on my property line, not doing any damage to me other than some big branches fell. But outside, it was a war zone. I mean, huge, 100-foot pine trees just ripped up by the roots and snapped in half. It destroyed three houses. And this is, my house was shaking like a tornado. It was in my backyard. And we were just about to run to a room that I picked out would be the best place to go in case of a tornado. Then it let up, but it destroyed three houses. And then it went north, kind of east from my house. And block after block, it took out like three houses. That it was just wide enough. And it went block after block for about a mile. Ripped up these big pine trees with like little twigs to it. And that was only like a category one.
Wow.
Possibly two. But I think, yeah. So God's... really watched over us. If that tornado would have been 50 feet closer to my property, it would have done damage. It would have done damage to my property and maybe my house. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So we've been here 4 years, and we've had a series of floods, not really from heavy rain around us, but up north with those tornadoes that they had massive rains that came down the rivers through my town. So there was no chance of me, because I live out of the flood zone. But yeah, the floods were all around us a couple times here. Then we had the tornado. We had the hurricane, and the hurricane did about $30,000 in damage, not to my house, but to the property.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's in 4 years, a couple floods, a hurricane, and a tornado.
John?
Yes, Randy.
John, do you know, historically, does Houston have bad weather like what you had in 2024?
No. It is prone to every couple of years, the hurricane. But tornadoes they're relatively rare. I'm talking to the old timers here. They're especially in the town I live in. They couldn't remember the last tornado.
Wow.
So there's been those Durangos, those straight wind storms. Is that what they're called? Durango?
Durangos.
Yeah. We've had two of them now, which one of them hit Houston hard. I mean, hit the city hard. We've had that hurricane that I was here, that tornado. Like, they're starting to get a little frequent here now, and they weren't in the past.
Oh.
Now, down the block from where I live, he's an old-timer. He's been here all his life, and he's 80 now. And he said, I was here for Hurricane. He rattled them off. He rattled all the hurricanes off. He said there was one of them, I think it was a 4, that hit. He said the worst one was this barrel that just hit. It was a Category 1 or 2. He said the destruction that did, it destroyed the trees that hit houses and all. And he said the bigger hurricanes didn't bring the trees down. This one did. So I think that it was embedded with tornadoes. Even though it was a Category 1 there, maybe 2, it was embedded with tornadoes, and that's what did so much damage.
I'm sorry that those people got their properties damaged. That's terrible.
Yeah. So I guess we got to keep each other in prayer when we see these storms.
Amen.
Yes, I appreciate everybody keeping me in prayer. I was on Saturday,
Notice that there's a lot of stuff running right by Kathy right now, too.
Yes, it's the Kathy, yes. That storm that came through here, it ran along the coast and then turned your way.
Yeah, and it's 65 degrees here now, and it's not going to get down to but 60 all night. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have one or two come barreling through.
Well, on Saturday, I go to a Hebraic Christian church there. And afterwards, after the service, man, the storm really kicked up. So someone checked weather, and then our whole area was tornado warnings. That was just this morning. So
wow.
I went outside the church, and right where the church was, it was okay. But I looked, would be northwest, and that's where I live from the church. So I got on the phone and I called Nancy, and she said, "Oh yeah, it's pouring rain here, and it's horrific thunder and lightning." Because I could look in the distance and see it. I said, "Okay, I'm on my way home." So then she got concerned because I told her the word tornado warnings in the area. So she was concerned with me driving home. So I was concerned about her being in the house alone. And she was concerned about me driving home.
Oh, that's love. So
that's so sweet.
Yes. So I braved tornadoes and heavy. It didn't rain all the way home. The storm was blowing north. So I didn't. It was perfectly safe, me driving all the way home from the church this morning. So even so, come Lord Jesus.
Amen. We're happy that you were safe. And Nancy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Sister Rita's here.
Good evening, Chaplain John. And good evening to everyone.
Thank you, Sister Rita. Thank you. Yeah, good evening to you. Now, I know this is nonsense, and I should stop it. Gigi, your colors are very nice. You've got like a light orange background with a beautiful yellow circle with letters, UC in the middle. It's very, very nice.
Well, thank you. I work hard on that.
Yeah, Sister Kathy, can you see, I guess you call it the icon when people call in?
I could if I was on dial pad, but I was just getting on Rumble because
that's fine. Hadn't
done that. But no, I'm going to get on. You've made me curious.
Yeah. Sister Sharon, can you see the colors?
Nope. I can see a picture of you right now, but I don't see any particular color.
Okay. All right.
It'll pop in the face before we know it.
Okay. The great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I mean, I'm encouraged because if God could do in this election what he did, he can easily send a great outpouring. He sent like a political revival. I mean, it was in a real sense, it was like a political revival that.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't just like a little change from, 19 or 2016 to 2020 or 2012 to 2016 to, little Democrat Republican changes and all. This was radical. And I mean, it took us from the jaws of hell.
Mm-hmm.
This was radical. So if he can do that, he can also send a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So this should really encourage us to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. Amen. All right, Sister Kathy, what color do you see?
I do see the one you did see, say.
Now, isn't it worthy of complimenting?
Well, it's not my favorite, but it's nice. She's prettier than anybody else on there.
No, what about Randy? He's more handsome.
Well, they're a team, so they're in there together.
Right.
That's right, Kathy. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so let me get over to – I got to open with prayer also. Let me get over to DL, and I'm here. So, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for safety, Lord. And we pray for those people there. There was, I don't know if there was fatalities or not, but those
one.
Was there one? Those Category 1 tornadoes, if they hit your property, there's going to be a lot of damage.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
Lord, I pray your blessings on those people, Lord. And Lord, I'm praying that you would thank you for, they were in my area today, but thank you, Lord, that none hit and we were safe. So Lord, I pray now for D.L. Moody, Lord, was one of the greatest evangelists ever, Lord. He's credited with winning, I don't know, a million plus, but just his voice. There was no really electronics. Tremendous man of tremendous anointing on him. So I pray that, this here, mimicking him would really minister to us, Lord, with the things he said. He had tremendous wisdom, and when he preached, he had tremendous power, tremendous conviction. The hardest of hardest sinners would come running up to the altar to get saved, crying and weeping. So, and that's what we need now, Lord. We need thousands of D.L. Moody's today, Lord. Thank you for him, and thank you for this being able to sort of resurrect him in a way, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The world is yet to see what God can do with and for and in and by and through a man, fully and wholly consecrated, set aside for Jesus Christ. Henry Viley, an English preacher, said that to me many years ago. And I've tried as best I might to be that man. Haven't always succeeded, but have tried. God's been good. God didn't have much to work with as far as I was concerned. And I've got every excuse in the world not to serve God. My father died when I was 5 years old, so I growed up without a father. It's easy to say, well, I can't serve God. I ain't got no father. God said, well, I'll be your father. And I had to quit school when I was in the third grade, so I ain't got a lot of education either. So, well, God will teach you all you need to know. And that's how I growed up. And I growed up poor. When my father died, the creditors come and they took everything we had. They even took the wood right out the wood pile. Well, God said, I'll meet all your needs. So God met all our needs. And that's how it was growing up there on the farm in Massachusetts. Now, I hate famine. I got to tell you that. I hate famine. Don't hate farmers, but I hate famine. There in Massachusetts, when you plow with oxen. And I'd be going along, I hate famine, I'd hate famine right up one row, I'd hate famine right up the next row. And then if you're chopping wood, if you know what you're doing when you're chopping wood, you give it a little snap to your wrist, and I hate famine. Well, you can chop a lot of wood, you hate famine bad as I done, I can tell you that right now. Yes, sir. So that's how I grew up. Now tonight, I just got to ask you a couple of questions. Now, I ain't no great theologian, I'm going to tell you that right now. And the first question I've got to ask you is a question God asked, so that makes it a good question. There in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve had sinned. They had fallen. And they was hiding from God. And God come looking for them. Now what must that have been like to speak with God every day, walk with God every day in the cool of the evening? God would come down and walk amongst them. And there they was hiding from God. And God asked this question. He said, where art thou? Now how come you reckon God asked him that question? You reckon God didn't know where they was? We get that way sometimes, don't we? We think God can't find us. God don't know where we are. But God was saying, where art thou? That's a good question, ain't it? Now, I don't think God asked them that question because God didn't know where they was. I think God asked them that question because God wanted them to know where they was. I think God wanted them to realize they was trying to hide from God. So there they was. And they come out, and God spoke with them, and knew right then he'd have to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross. But that's a good question. Where art thou? Where are you? Oh, well, Mr. Moody, I'm right here. Mr. Moody, I read my Bible. Mr. Moody, I go to church. Mr. Moody, I do this or I do that. But you know what I mean. Where are you in your heart? And I thought maybe if I told you where I've been, that help you know where you are. So I grew up on there on a farm in Massachusetts. Well, when I got to be about 18 years old, I'd had enough of that farming. Didn't want to farm no more. I wanted to make a lot of money. So I got myself to Boston, Massachusetts. Now, I had these two uncles, Uncle Lemuel and Uncle Samuel. Now, Uncle Lemuel, he was nice and sweet and kind. And then there was Uncle Samuel. Now, Uncle Lemuel ran one shoe store, and Uncle Samuel ran both shoe stores. And so I got there and said, Uncle Samuel, here I am. I'm ready to be vice president of your shoe store. Well, he had some other ideas, and he started out with a broom. He thought that'd be a better place than vice president. And he said, if you come to work for me, you've got to abide by some rules. Well, you know how you are. When you're 18 years old, you don't like rules very much. He said, if you come to work for me, I don't want you to do no drinking. Well, drinking would kill my father. I won't fool enough to believe it wouldn't kill me, too. And said, I don't want you to do no smoking. Well, we were so poor, we couldn't afford to smoke if I'd wanted to. Don't want you to do no chewing. Now, I've got to thinking about that chewing tobacco. Have you ever thought about that? If you had a big water drop plugged in your head, and I've got to think, well, what would happen if you swallowed it? Well, I'd rather have something else inside of me than a wad of chewing tobacco, so I never done that. And then he come to the last one. He said, if you come to work for me, you got to go to church every Sunday. Well, now, my mother had made us go to church every Sunday. And I figured at 18, I sort of caught up with that church going, you know, when you got to be made to go to church. And, well, I figured I'd had enough of church going, but I had to have a job. And God was asking me, where art thou? Oh, I was in church all right. Oh, I was in church all right, but that's all it was, in church. God won't in me. Well, I'll never forget my very first Sunday there in church. Mr. Edward Kimball, he was my Sunday school teacher. He taught the 18-year-old boy Sunday school class. Well, sir, he got up there and he said, turn in the Bibles to the book of John. Well, I didn't know where the book of John was. I figured, well, it must be in here somewhere. I started fumbling around the beginning. Well, didn't. I'll start at the end. And after a while, he said, Mr. Moody, he would always call us boys, Mr. and whatever your last name was. He figured if he respected us, we'd respect him. And that's the way it was. And he said, Mr. Moody, let me see that Bible you got there. I ain't never seen a Bible quite like that one. And here, you take my Bible. And his Bible was already turned to the book of John. See, ain't that the way it is sometimes? You know, folks that growed up in church, well, they know where the books of the Bible are. Somebody that ain't never been to church, well, they don't know the songs you're singing. They don't know the words you're reading. They don't know nothing about it. And you need to help them out, you know. Well, that's the way he was. He was helping us out. Well, sir, he preached that Sunday, spoke that Sunday, and the next day he comes out the shoe store. And he come right in there and he said, Mr. Moody, I need to talk to you. I said, well, go right ahead. He said, it's real serious like us. Well, we can go in the back room here. We went in the back room of that shoe store, and I'll never forget his words. He said, Mr. Moody, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. If you don't ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and be your Savior, you're going to die in your sins and you're going to go straight to hell. Well, you couldn't get no plainer than that. I said, Mr. Kimball, I believe you're right. So I knelt down there in the back room of that shoe store and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Well, the world's a better place. You got Jesus as your Savior. Seems like the sun shines brighter, the birds sing sweeter. Well, sir, I went back to church that next Sunday, and I figured I ought to join that church, you know. Now, I was a believer in Jesus Christ, and I was going to be a member of that church. Well, now, that church was, well, it had deacons. And I'm here to tell you, they was the most sour-faced lot of deacons I had ever seen in my whole life. I mean, every one of them looked like they growed up eating sour apples or something. Didn't have a smile on the face between them. And they started asking me all these hard questions. They said, Mr. Moody, where is the book of John? Well, I know by then there was an Old Testament and a New Testament, and I figured I had a 50-50 chance of getting that right. But it didn't. And after a while, they asked me a few other questions, and I didn't know the answers to them neither. And they said, Mr. Moody, we believe you're too ignorant to join our church. How you like that? I'll bet you didn't know intelligence was a requirement for church membership. Well, sir, they took care of them sour-faced deacons and put them on my case, and after about 6 months or so, I'd smarten up enough to join their church. Now, all this time, I'd graduated from pushing a broom to selling shoes, and I was good at it. If there wasn't nobody in the store, I'd go out on the street and drag them in and sell them a pair of shoes whether they want a pair or not. I was the best shoe salesman in the store. But it was also about that time when I heard the call. Now, it wasn't the call of God. It was the call of the almighty dollar. It sounds pretty loud sometimes, don't it? Yes, sir. It can talk over everything. I heard how folks was going to Chicago, Illinois, and how they was making a lot of money. So I got myself to Chicago, Illinois, and sure enough, I started making money. I won't selling shoes by the pair no more. I was selling train car loads of shoes to other salesmen all over the West and the Midwest. I was selling shoes here, and I'd take that money, and I'd buy a wagon load of this or a cart load of that or a barrel of this, and I'd sell that and buy a piece of property, and I'd sell that, and I'd loan money. Now, let me tell you, when you loan out money at 21% interest compounded daily, you can make a lot of money. And I was making money. I was making money hand over fist. Yes, sir. I was going to make a lot of money. I was sending it back to my mother, who was taking care of my younger brothers and sisters. I was the oldest one left at home now. My brother George, he'd run off. And so I was trying to help mother out. So there I was, making a lot of money. But God was calling me, where art thou? Well, God, I'm in church. See, I was going to a church. Now, back then, you had to rent yourself a pew. And I figured I rented myself 4 pews. And I figured since I was renting them pews, I could put anybody in them pews I wanted to. So I'd go out and get drunks and bums and card sharpers and, well, all kinds of people. Get them to come in and sit in my pews. Well, the deacons at that church, they was drinking the same things the mother deacons have been drinking. They was a sour-faced lot, too. They said, Mr. Moody, some of your gentlemen are at odds with our lady's perfume. I said, you're going to have to explain that to me. They said, they stink. I said, well, I understand that well enough, but I figured, see, we'd let God clean him up on the inside, and well, then maybe we could go to work on the outside. But they didn't see it quite that way. For them, it was what was on the outside. That's what mattered. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looketh on the heart. Well, it made me mad. Bunch of yahoos. So I went out and started my own Sunday school. Now, Sunday school was new in them days. Yes, sir. It was a new thing. And I rented out a tavern. And I'd go out and get children to come in there. And I'd teach them the best I know how, which won't too good on Sunday morning. So we started out. We had about 50 and then 100 and then 200 and 300, 500. Pretty soon we was running about 1,000 children. Yes, sir. Now, these children, they weren't well-mannered children. We couldn't get them to sit still for more than about a minute at a time. And you'd have to tell them a story real quick in a minute. You try to tell them the story of Jesus in a minute. The story of Zacchaeus in a minute. The story of feeding of the 5,000 in a minute. That's why I talk so fast. Well, anyhow, that's the way it was. And back then, I'd give out candy or apples or pony rides, anything to get the children to come. I remember there was this one young man. If you ever been to Chicago, the first floor is up off the street, about 15, 20 feet, and you've got a flight of stairs down to the street level. And this young fella, he was at the bottom of the stairs. I was at the top. I said, young man, you want to come hear a story? No, he said. We're giving out candy. You want some candy? No. I've got some apples. Want an apple? No. Well, all this time, while he was saying no, I was easing down the stairs. And I got within arm's reach of him. I was going to make a grab at him. He was going to go to Sunday school. Well, he lit out down the street, and I lit out after him. I was a lot younger and a whole lot thinner back then. And he went around the corner. I went around the corner, and he shot through the alleyway. I shot through the alleyway. He went in a tavern. I went in the tavern. He dived under a table. I reached under there, grabbed him by the ankle, and hauled him out. He was going to go to Sunday school. Well, that was his father's saloon I had run into. And his father didn't like it too much because I was bringing folks to Jesus Christ, and they won't come in at his tavern no more. He was behind the bar there, and he whipped out a great big knife that he kept in his boot, and he chased, I'm going to kill you, Moody! And every time he seen me, he'd pull that knife, we'd go. Here I am, I'm running, he's chasing, waving that knife at me. If he didn't have the knife with him, he'd kick a cobblestone up out the street, and he'd heave that at me. Well, that sort of thing starts weighing on your mind after a while, you know, someone trying to kill you like that, and... Well, one day I come around the corner, and there he was. I seen him. He seen me. Here he go. He pulls the knife. And the Holy Spirit just seemed to speak to me. He said, now, D.L. Moody, what about his soul? I said, what about mine? He said, you go on with you now. You've got to tell him about Jesus. So I stopped. He stopped. I said, you can kill me in a minute here if you want to. But I got to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. If you don't ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you're going to die in your sins, and you're going to go straight to hell. Nobody had ever told him that before. He started weeping. So I went over to him, put my arm around him, and he knelt down there right in the middle of the sidewalk in Chicago, Illinois. And he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be his Savior. Well, he got rid of that tavern, he became a preacher. When he died, his son took over that church, went on to be a preacher. That young man who run from God was running for God now. Well, like I said, the Sunday school was going, and one Sunday morning I knelt down to pray for the children. And I couldn't pray. See, I was trying to make a deal with God. You ever tried to make a deal with God? God, I'll do this. If you'll do, God, never again. If you'll just this one time. God, if you'll do that, I promise I'll always. You ever done that? Tried to make a deal with God Almighty? Well, here was my deal. See, God was wanting me to serve him full time. And I was wanting to make a lot of money. I said, God, here's the deal. You let me make $100,000. Now, in them days, $100,000, that's like making $1 million now. You let me make $100,000, and when I can trust that money and I ain't got to trust you, well, then I'll serve you full time. See, God don't want no deal. God don't need no deal. God just wants you. James tells us he yearns to envy for us. So that Sunday morning, I knelt down there, and I said, God, you can have me lock, stock, and barrel. I will serve you full time. Where art thou? Well, I quit my job. Where art thou? Well, I'm without a job. But God met my needs. The Sunday school, it kept right on growing. And God has met every need I ever had. I'll tell you this. I don't tell this every place, but One day, there was a fella, he come up to me, he said, D.L., that's what my friends call me. He said, D.L., I got something for you. I said, well, praise the Lord. Thank you. I appreciate it. He give me a key. I said, what's this? He said, it's a key. I said, well, I can see that. What's it to? Said, it's to a house. God put it on his heart to give me a house. Now, by then, I'd met my wife, Emma. She's my balance wheel. If you read anything I ever wrote and it made any sense whatsoever, it's because Emma got hold of it. Yes, sir. She's a Revell. Her brother, Fleming Revell, runs that publishing company. Well, that's the kind of people she comes from. And here I am. I ain't nobody. But God gave us a beautiful house, and Emma was worried about it because we only had furniture that was orange crates. We'd sit on an orange crate, and she didn't know how them orange crates was going to look in that house. But, well, God filled the house full of furniture, too, and he took care of that. So God's took care of me all this time. Well, the Sunday school growed, and people was coming in, and now this is the way it went. By then, we had about 1,000 children. And we'd get them to quiet down for a minute or two, and we'd tell them a story, and then they'd run around, and then we'd tell them another story, and then they'd run around some more, and then we'd sing a song, and then they'd run around. And well, we had this young fella come up to us, and I didn't like him very much. He wanted to teach Sunday school, and well, he was just what you know the kind of fella I mean. Well, he dressed real good, and he spoke real good, and he had a lot of education, and he was good-looking, and all that sort of thing. You know, the kind of fella you just don't like. Now, God says you're supposed to love, and I loved him, but I didn't like him. Well, he said, Mr. Moody, I'd like to teach in Sunday school. I said, well, I'll fix you, young fella. Yes, sir, I'll put you in charge of the worst bunch we got in this whole crowd. They was the rowdiest, they was the most terrible, they was the loudest in the whole bunch. 12-year-old girls, 100 of them. They'll fix you, I thought. They'll have you tied up. And when I say tied up, I mean tied up. They was wild. Well, sir, I was listening. I was just waiting. But they was quiet. See, they weren't 100 girls to him. He got to know every one of them by name. One day he come to see me. He said, D.L., I got a favor. I said, well, what's the favor? I'm from New England. I don't give out favors. He said, I'm dying. I said, you just tell me what it is. I'll do whatever I can. He said, I'd sure like to go see all them girls. The doctors tell me I got to go someplace warmer and drier than Chicago. And, well, I was just hoping you'd go with me. And I said, well, let's go. So we started out. First off, he could climb in the wagon himself. You know, I had a little cart horse there. And he could get in, but it won't long. He couldn't do that no more. I'd have to help him in, and then pretty soon I'd have to pick him up and put him in. And we went to see all the girls. Toward the end, I'd have to just scoop him up and carry him up 4 or 5 flights of stairs, but he didn't weigh much by then. We went to see all the girls, all 100 of them, and every last one of them come to Jesus Christ. I wish he could have been there. We was there to see him off. He was going down to one of the southern states. Dryer. We all stood on the platform there and we sang, and he got on the train and we waved. He's with the Lord now. But I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about, here's this young man who could do anything. He said, well, I've never done this, or I ought to see that, or I ought to go there, or I ought to do this. But he gave the last days of his life to telling them girls about Jesus Christ. God was asking me, where art thou? So I made a vow to God. I made a vow that I would never let a single day go by without telling at least one person about Jesus Christ. And I have kept that promise all these years. I ain't talking about preaching. I've preached over 100 million people, eyeball to eyeball. No, I'm talking about seeing a fella in a store or on the train or walking down the sidewalk and just asking him about Jesus as the Spirit would lead. I've given out the gospel to over 750,000 people that way, one at a time. Just tell them about Jesus. I remember one night, it was late and it was raining. It was cold, nasty night. I was already in bed and hadn't kept my promise to God that day. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, he'll start kind of poking at you a little bit, you know. You ain't kept your promise. And then you start making that deal. I'll tell 5 people tomorrow. How's that? You ain't kept your promise today. Well, I got up, got dressed, took an umbrella. It was pouring rain. Started walking the streets of Chicago about midnight on a Saturday night. Seen this young fella, he was just standing there, rain pouring over him. Put my umbrella over him. You know, sometimes you got to show people how much you love them, how much you care about them, before you can tell them how much Jesus cared about them. Well, I said, son, where are you going to spend eternity? Ain't none of your business, he said. I said, son, I'm D.L. Moody. That's the only business I've got now. He began to weep, his salt tears mixing with the rain. He was going to go to the Chicago River to make away with himself. He was going to kill himself. But instead he asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. Where art thou? Are you waking? Are you sleeping? Are you laying safe and soft in bed and warm and dry? Or are you out doing what God wants you to do? You're keeping your promise to God. Where art thou? Well, about that time, the Civil War started in America. A lot of young men was going out to kill a lot of other young men. Those of us in the Young Men's Christian Association, we began to preach to the men in Camp Douglas on the south side of Chicago. When they left and went to fight and the prisoners started coming in, well, we preached to the prisoners. I preached to both sides. I preached to the north, preached to the south. Didn't make no difference to me. The blood was red. Didn't matter what color the uniform was. But I'll never forget, after the Battle of Vicksburg, Mississippi, it was a long, drawn-out battle. Thousands killed, shot. I was on a hospital ship coming up the Mississippi River. And I just laid down. I hadn't slept for about 3 days, and I was tired. I was going to take a little nap, and an orderly said, Mr. Moody, there's a fella calling for you. I said, well, you tell him I'll be there in a little bit. I got to have a little nap. He said, Mr. Moody, he ain't got time for you to take a nap. Well, I got up. I didn't want to go. I was tired. God, can't I take a nap? Can't I lay down just for a minute? Can't I be weary? Now, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody dying or not. But that young man, he was looking right square out into eternity. Yes, sir. He was looking right square out into eternity. So I sat down beside him and I took his hand in mine. It was cold. I said, son, let me read the Bible to you a little bit here. Turned him a Bible to the book of John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 14. You just listen now, son. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, you see, that's you, you're the whosoever, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, see, you're right there, whosoever again, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because the deeds were evil. He whispered again, and I read to him again. He whispered again, and I read to him a third time there. Finally, I took his hand in mine again, and I said, son, if you want to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, would you just give him a hand to squeeze? And he squeezed my finger as best he could. I said, son, I'm going to pray, but there ain't no magic in the words. You just tell God Almighty you're a sinner and you want to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and he'll save you. So I prayed, and I could see his lips moving just a bit. A little smile curled around his mouth. There was some water there, and I took a little water and a rag, and I kind of sponged him off a little bit. He was sweating something fierce. Had some more water I pressed to his lips, gave him a little drink of water, and his lips were so dry. I said, son, I'm going to leave for a little bit, but I'll come back. I'll read some more right out the Bible to you. I gave his hand another squeeze, and I went back and laid down. Oh, not long, maybe 20 minutes, maybe 30, but not long. And when I come back, his cot was empty. Now, Audley said he died the sweet, peaceful sleep of a man trusting in Jesus. See, but I was going to make him wait. Where art thou? Well, the Civil War got over, and I met up with a fellow by the name of Ira Sankey. He was a musician, and we got an invite to go over to England. I went over there as a Sunday school fellow, Sunday school teacher, Sunday school man. That was how I was built. D.L. Moody, the Sunday school man. We got ourselves over there, and I hate sailing. I get sick as a dog. I get seasick, and I just tell him, you know, wake me when we get to the other side, and if we don't get to the other side, we'll just shoot me or something, you know. And well, we got over there, and there won't nobody there to meet us. I thought that was kind of inconsiderate. They brought us all that way, and so we knew where there was, and we found the train that went there and got on the train, went there. There won't nobody to meet us off the train, and we hired ourselves a carriage, and we got in there, give the fellow the address, they had died. I didn't think that was real considerate of him. I'd come all that way, and that preacher had died on me, and there was another fellow in the same town, and I went to see him. He died too. I guess getting two preachers to agree on anything was just too hard. So, I'm dying, but I'll wait. You go ahead and whatever it was. But they both died on me. Well, there was a third fellow. I was afraid to go see him. He was down at the south end of England near the Isle of Wight. I sent him a cable. Moody and Sankey in the country on our way. He cabled me back. Not ready, don't come. I cabled him. Too late. Well, he had led me to believe that he had a congregation of several hundred. What he meant was he had a congregation of several. Nothing about the hundred. So we started out with them. Yes, sir. First night we had about a dozen or so. And next night we had about 30. And next night we had about 50. And next night we had about 300. And next night we had about 800. But that's all there was. Everybody in town come to Jesus Christ. Come to hear the meetings and hear about Jesus. Well, then we began to get invites from all over England. Began to have great meetings. And folks said, I started the Great Awakening there in England. And I'm here to tell you, I ain't never started nothing. Whatever I'd done, the school or the Young Men's Christian Association or anything like that, it was all Jesus Christ. He done it all. I ain't nothing. I got a lot of energy. I got a lot of go. He's the one. Can you imagine what it's like? 4,000, 5,000, 10,000, 40,000, 50,000 people coming to hear Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ. We was in Edinburgh, Scotland, and I was preaching to a crowd there, and they was cold. They weren't moving. Nobody was coming forward. It was like talking to a stone wall. And I was so burdened for them. And that night, we went back, 5,000 people, and I give the invitation. 500 people stood up. I thought maybe they misunderstood. I said, if you want to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, stand up. They stood up again. No, sit back down. Let me make this real clear to you. If you want to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to save you from your sins, stand up. They stood up again. Do you know what the difference was? It wasn't me. It was one young lady. One young lady who was an invalid, couldn't even come to the meeting. Her sister had been that morning. When her sister got home, she said, where have you been? So I went to hear that Moody fella. I said, oh, I wish I'd known. I'd pray for you. She said, well, I wish you would, because things won't go in so good. So she got down on her knees, and she stayed on her knees all afternoon in prayer for that meeting that night. And it was because of her prayers, the prayers of the saints, that revival come to England. See, you want revival to come? You can't make one up. You can't get one up. You've got to have God Almighty. He will bring revival. You've got to ask Him for it. He'll bring it. Revival swept England from one end to the other. We saw great meetings all over. Thousands upon thousands of people coming to Jesus Christ. Well, it got time to come back to America, and I was feeling pretty good. Yes, sir, I'm D.L. Moody. I'm a great evangelist. I'd gone over there as a Sunday school man, and now I'm a great evangelist. Said so in the paper. Must be true if it's in the paper. D.L. Moody saves England. D.L. Moody, great evangelist. Yes, sir. So I got on a ship to come back to America, and I was feeling pretty good, and ship started, and I went back to my cabin. I said, wake me when we get to America. And about 3 days out to sea, a storm come up, with them great storms in the Atlantic. You know what I mean. Waves high on the top of this building, tossing us around like a toy on the water. Well, about 2 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock at my door. Mr. Moody. Mr. Moody.
What?
Mr. Moody, the captain would like to see you. I got up, got myself dressed. The ship is tossing back and forth. I get to the captain's cabin. What is it? He said, I want you to pray. What am I praying about? The ship is sinking. Well, that's not exactly what you want to hear. 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, middle of the Atlantic Ocean. It was one of them new steamer ships, and the waves had brought the stern, the rear end out of the water, and the propeller had kept turning. And when it hit the water again, it stopped the propeller, but the engines kept turning. And they tore a hole in the bottom of the ship and shattered the shaft of the ship right in two. And they was taking on water faster than they could take it out, bring it out. And the ship was sinking, and they closed off the bulkheads, and they'd done all they could do. But the ship was drifting and driven by the wind without any power, without any direction. Oh, I was praying all right. I got mad with God. You ever got mad with God? God, we got this storm here. God, I got meetings scheduled in America. God, you forgot what I've done for you there in England? God, you can't kill me. I'm D.L. Moody. You need me. Now, I ain't proud of that. But I was scared. Scared of dying. Well, every day that ship got lower and lower in the water, and every day my heart got harder and colder. 5 days passed. But then it was like walking up a mountainside to go from one end of the ship to the other. It was so low in the water. The captain sent word for me. He said, Mr. Moody, I want you to hold a service. I was afraid to hold one before because I didn't want no panic. But Mr. Moody, this storm ain't let up. And we're drifting so far out of the shipping lanes, I don't even know where we are. I can't take no measure or anything. Can't see the sun, can't see the moon, no stars. So, Mr. Moody, you preach a sermon so all these people here, all the souls on this ship can come to Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that man had a better grasp on the reality of heaven than I had. I was mad with God. He was worried about the souls of them people. He said, Mr. Moody, we can't put a lifeboat in the water. It wouldn't survive in these oceans. The waves are so great. So, Mr. Moody, we're all going to die. So let's all die and go to heaven together. I said, you get them all together in the Grand Salon. I'll preach them a sermon. They'll be telling stories how D.L. Moody died preaching. Yes, sir. Now, I turn to it now, but I got to tell you, this is the God's honest truth. That night, I just throw my Bible down, and I just put my finger. I didn't care. The only person I cared about was me. But by the sovereign grace of Almighty God, my finger fell on Psalm 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. And they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. And they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and it bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And then are they glad because they be quiet, and so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I finished the sermon that night. I can't even tell you what I said. God done a great work. Where art thou? I was at my wit's end. Now, sometimes God's got to get you there. Sometimes God's got to hem you in and close you in. Sometimes God's got to put you in the midst of a storm. Sometimes God's got to put you on a sinking ship where there ain't no hope in your own strength. You can trust only in God Almighty himself. You're at your wit's end. You can't think your way out. You can't plan your way out. You can't do nothing to get out except trust God Almighty. Well, I went back to my cabin, fell on my face before God. I said, God, you take me home to glory, home to Nowfield, Massachusetts, home to Chicago, Illinois. It's all the same to me. Thy will be done. I went to bed, slept like a baby. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Moody, you best come. Well, I got myself dressed. I stepped out on the deck of that ship, and the sea was just as calm as glass. Coming across the horizon like a shining star was a ship of rescue. Another ship blown off course just like us, but they weren't sinking. When the waves died down and the calm had set in, the captain fired a flare and they seen our distress signal. And they towed us all the way back to England. We got another ship back to America. But God began to change everything. Where I'd had thousands at meetings, I began to see tens of thousands. I began to get invites from all over the world. Come here, Mr. Moody. Come here, Mr. Moody. God changed everything. Well, I'll tell you the story, and I'll be quiet. I was preaching in my church there in Chicago. It's a pretty fair size. It takes up a whole city block. And I'd started a series on the life of Christ. I love to preach on the life of Christ. I'd preached about his birth. And I'd preached about his growing up as best I know how when he was 12 there, and confounded them scholars. I like that story. Preached about choosing the disciples, raising the dead, healing the sick, healing them 10 lepers, opening the eyes of the blind. I was down near the end now. I was in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. But now it was the fall of the year. I was preaching from Matthew chapter 27, verse 22, and now it's when we come to that second question. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is... Now, my congregation, they was getting a little restless. There's a commotion going on. I said, now, folks, I'm not going to give an invitation tonight. You've been faithful to come all these weeks, and you just come on back to next Sunday, and, well, then I'll ask you what you're going to decide to do with Jesus, which is called Christ. You answer that question now, just going home.
That was October the 8th, 1871. And I sent 2,000 people right out into the Chicago fire. I stepped out of the church that night. I thought I had stepped into hell itself. You could hear women screaming for the children and husbands trying to get the families together. Horses were running wild. And you could hear the bells ringing from the fire. The fire itself sounded like a train. It was roaring, and the heat, all the heat, and the smoke was... I got my family away as best I could, and I tried to help whatever I could do, but there weren't much to do. You couldn't do nothing. It caught fire. The whole city was burning. I made my way down to the waterfront there, Lake Michigan, and there was a little rowboat there, and I untied it, and I rowed out a little ways, and I just watched Chicago burn. It burnt right to the ground. When I could, I made my way back to the church, but it was gone. I stood there at the pulpit where it used to be, and I said, God, if I could have them people back just for a minute. God, if I could have them back just for a minute, I could ask them what they decided to do with Jesus, which is called Christ. I never seen him again. The ones that weren't killed moved away. There weren't nothing to keep them. Chicago was burnt. But I made a promise to God. I made a promise that I would never end a service without giving folks a chance to decide what they're going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ. And I'm here to tell you, one way or another, you will decide what you're going to do with Jesus. You're either going to accept him or you're going to reject him. You're either going to say, Lord, thy will be done, or you're going to say, no, my will be done. You either be on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. There ain't no middle ground here. But God was still asking me that question, where art thou? See, God was wanting me to go out into worldwide evangelism. I was getting all these invites. And I said, I ain't going to do that. I'll take a meeting every now and then. I'll go preach every now and then. But Lord, why look at what it does. I got this church here, and I got this school here that we started, and I got the Young Men's Christian Association, and I got this rescue mission here, and I got this, and I built that, and is this not Great Babylon, which I have built? God burnt every building I built right to the ground. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Where art thou, Moody? I said, God, by your grace and by your mercy, would you let me build them buildings back? And I'll go. I'll go anyhow, but God, would you let me? Because these people need help. And by the grace of God, we was able to build all the buildings back within 2 years. And when that was all done, I said, now you got to do this without me. I got to obey God. And we began our worldwide ministry. See, them's the two questions. Where art thou? Where are you? Where are you in your life? Are you resting in Jesus? Are being obedient to God? Or are you following what you want? And that next question, what then shall you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do with Jesus? You're either going to accept him or you're going to reject him. You're either going to obey him or you're going to disobey him. You're either going to do what you want or you're going to do what he wants. But I can guarantee one way or the other, you will decide where you are and what you're going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ. Father, bless this time. Use these words to your eternal glory. Father, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And take your word as it goes out and reap a great harvest for you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and through his blood. Amen. And amen.
Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was super excellent. I mean, super. Let me get back to this. Okay. Thank you, Sister Kathy. Thank you. The diction was perfect.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Diction was, it probably was worse than that, but that was suitable.
Oh, yeah.
That was suitable for the show. I mean, that was really, really, really good. Man, that was.
I feel like we've met him. Don't you feel like you know Dwight L. Moody personally now?
Yeah. Dwight Lehman Moody.
Yep. Third grade education.
Wow. Yeah, but he knew the word.
So that's, he knew humanity.
Yeah, he knew the word of God. That's man's teaching was, well, needed for maybe learning how to read, but he knew the word of God. I thought he might mention R.A. Torrey because they were buddies.
There's a couple more. He does one on law and grace, and he does one on some. And this man does R.A. Torrey. This is Doug Wheatley, and he does R.A. Torrey.
Yeah, and R.A. Torrey was a great biblical scholar. I mean, he knew like Greek and Hebrew and all that. And I read all of Moody's writings and I read all of R.A. Torrey's writings. And R.A. Torrey said, I would trade all my degrees and everything that I have like that for the knowledge that Moody has of the Bible.
Yes. Yeah. It was amazing.
So... okay, let me get, I don't think I switched off. Oh, I did. Yeah, I mean, that was as good as any of them we've heard. Any of them. That was superb. I mean, it was just, in a way, it was just like him.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, characterization.
The way he preached, it was really good. You could preach that as a sermon and win people to the Lord. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, that was superb.
I tried to find out who that Sunday school teacher was because I wanted to know his story, but they don't have any record of who he was that he was talking about that came and taught the 12-year-old girls.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the one that led him to the Lord.
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He didn't mention the name, I don't think.
No, and I called Moody Broadcasting and asked if they knew, and they didn't even know the story. And so I told them about this guy, and they watched it, but they said there was no, they didn't have any record whatever. They couldn't find out. But I would love to know. Oh, you there?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at something. All right. Well, Rita, how did you like the testimony and preaching of D.L. Moody?
Oh, it moved my heart, and I was well blessed. And I believe that video, or if it was, yeah, it has to be a video, is anointed by the Lord God, because I was well blessed by it.
That's up there with Oral Roberts and the other ones we've had. Wow.
Yeah.
Where art thou?
Yes, not only has the Lord, not only did the Lord bless D.L. Moody, but he also has blessed that video and that. And the man that did the characterization of Moody, that man was also blessed by the Lord God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, that wasn't just a story. There was an anointing behind it.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Wow. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's something, you know, where art thou? That's something to remember.
Yes. Amen. Okay.
All right, I'm glad you were blessed, Sister Rita. And then Gigi and Randy. Yeah, Gigi.
Okay, go ahead.
John.
Yes, Randy.
That was really, really good. And, you know, they took it up through what he was doing in Chicago. But there's a whole other chapter to his life where, there were people that called him crazy Moody because he built a big auditorium back in his hometown in Massachusetts, and they thought it was really crazy because he left this metropolitan area, Chicago, and went back there. And it turned out they actually put in special train stop for that place, and it was filled to capacity. So he wasn't crazy after all.
Well, they also called him crazy because it was the Chicago World's Fair in 1894. And he did the same thing. He put a big tent up right outside the entrance, and they said no one will come. They're all coming to the Chicago Fair. They're not going to come to hear preaching. He said they'll come. And it was like three times a day he had these services for weeks, and they were filled the whole time. So, you know, they called him crazy for doing that. There was several things apparently he did that they thought was crazy.
And John, the bars in Chicago were closed on Sunday, but he talked the owners of the bar into letting him have young people and have services in the bar on Sunday.
Yeah, forgot about that.
Well, in Chicago, you had the Pacific Garden Mission.
Right.
That was a bar. That was a big bar.
Its original name was the Pacific Garden Beer. Pacific Beer Garden was the original name.
It has been so long since I heard anything about the Pacific Garden Mission. I think that would be a good topic and stuff of what they were really
doing
for.
Unshackled.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still doing those.
Pastor Jeff, who I was very close with in Harrisburg, along with John Holman, his testimony is with the Pacific Garden Mission. They Unshackled. It was called Unshackled.
Yeah.
Right.
And Jeff Mahon, he's one of the characters there on Unshackled.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, John?
Yes.
I think Pacific Garden Mission dates to 1872, which is the year after the fire.
Okay.
Yeah, because they moved. They had to move.
Mm-hmm.
And a lady named Eugenia Price did the Unshackled. She started it. And she's the one who wrote all about Jekyll Island and or St. Simon's Island with the trilogy. It's just amazing what she did. But she started the Unshackled program.
I'm looking at it right now to see if I can pick up archives by year. I have no idea when Jeff would be on it.
I'll tell you what, that's one heck of a thing to study, the Unshackled movement and everything. It's just a lot of good study in there.
Yeah, Paul Anderson was even on it.
Was he?
Strongest Man. Mm-hmm.
The Dixie Derrick.
Yep.
Yeah, through you, I got to talk to his wife.
Amen, and she is delightful.
How do I, on demand, visit us live, listen, share your story? I have no idea when Jeff would have been on it, because if it was on it, I'd like to play it. You know, if I could.
It was on it, because I remember in...
I mean, either
heard it or found it.
The year is the problem.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe, just put his name in there. You should be able to just put the name. And
yeah. Yeah, I should be able to do that. Well, I won't take up time now. I'll try it after the show. I actually remember some of those Unshackled. They used to come on kind of later at night when we lived in Long Island.
Yeah.
And if I had time, I'd like to listen to them. But then
they have a YouTube channel.
Really?
Unshackled has a YouTube channel. Uh huh.
Yeah, yeah. So I have no idea what Jeff was. Probably early 2000s, maybe.
What is his last name?
Mahon, Mayon. He owned a bar in Steelton, Pennsylvania. And I forget exactly how he came to the Lord, but I know he came to the Lord and he closed the bar and they wanted to buy his liquor license, a huge amount of money, like $100,000 or something. Right. And he said, no, he wouldn't use it for alcohol. He wouldn't, because of the drunk and everything that took place in there. He said, no. So he,
I found him.
Oh, okay.
I'll text it to Kathy.
What year was he on?
I don't know, but there's a video. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And then Kathy can send it to me.
Yeah, you send it to me, and we'll play it next. Lord willing, we'll play it next Saturday.
That'd be wonderful.
Brother Jeff was a good. He had someone. Jeff was a big track guy. He was a street preacher. He loved to hand out brochures. So someone, now I'm an eyewitness to this. Someone donated money to him for 1 million brochures.
Wow.
And he went out, the place that printed him was in, I think, Cincinnati. And he rented, I think he had a pickup truck, a station wagon, and he put a U-Haul behind it. And, I mean, it filled it up. And he did get a whole load of Gospels of John and New Testament and things like that. So I told him what I was doing. I had these connections in Africa, and I was sending Bibles. I was sending Bibles over to Africa. So he took the names of the contacts I had, and I don't know how I was getting these contacts, but I'd give them to Jeff, and he was sending all these packages. I was giving him the leads, and he was sending. Well, he had 1 million brochures. He had boxes in his house. They were up to the ceiling. When you went in his house, he had boxes just full of brochures. They were all over the place. So I remember we had a nice ministry going with Zambia and Pastor Moses. Moses had been an engineer, and he left being an engineer to become a minister of the gospel. So
amen.
Jeff was sending him loads and loads of brochures, and then he started to support the ministry there. So Jeff was a real, real, real good brother in the Lord. I miss him. He let me preach now and then in his church. And now you're not going to believe this, or maybe you will believe it. It's the only time I've ever heard of this. And it's the only time, seriously, and I experienced it. So the people in his church started to, like, he'd be preaching a little bit, and they'd stand up, and they'd say, well, I disagree with that. Or they'd say, they'd ask a question while he's preaching.
Wow.
So he had me preaching for them, for him. And they would stand up, and they would challenge me, or they would ask a question. I said, not for now, because it breaks your anointing. It breaks your concentration and all. So they got worse. And he was talking to them privately about, you can't do this. You got to stop. There was about three or four or five that were doing that. And so finally, John Holman and myself, we got so upset. I said, Jeff, I can't take this anymore. I can't come to your church anymore. It hurt me because he's a good preacher, and Holman was the same way. And then about, I'm going to say somewhere around 6 months later, he quit. He quit the church. They kind of ran us out by totally disrespect. I never heard of a church where people stood up during the church and saying, well, I don't like the way you use that verse. Or, you know, I've got a question for you about what you're preaching. I mean, who does that? But they did it at poor Jeff's church. So they ran us off. It wasn't only us, but others. And he followed us about a couple months later. Ran him out of the church. Now, Sister Kathy, is that a new one? Have you ever heard of that one before?
Well, I heard it in a church, but we had that happen in the Thursday group. And I'm like, are you serious? Because you don't believe it. You think a man that's been preaching that for 74 years is just going to say, oh, okay, well, I've been wrong all this time. You're right. Thank you for clearing that up. And I'm like, who would do that? But it is so disruptive, and it's crazy. But I'm glad that he got away from it before he died.
Yeah, totally drains the anointing from the service, totally.
Yes.
So that's poor Brother Jeff. Yeah. And Jeff, of course, Jeff is quite a while now with the Lord. Good brother. He was really, Jeff was, oh, what a good brother in the Lord. I'm trying to think of how I met him. And Nancy met him in the hospital. He was doing hospital work there. And she was a nurse there at Harrisburg Hospital. And he came into the room and she met him there. All right. So, we have Paula Jean's come in here. Hello, Paula Jean. Did you hear D.L. Moody?
Oh, it was incredible. And, you know, I think it's something that every pastor and every missionary should hear because of the actual story about the fire, about, you know, that changed his approach. He wasn't going to end any service or sermon without giving people an opportunity to make a decision for Christ. And boy, can you imagine how that must have impacted him? And with the fires being what they stepped out into after he had postponed giving them the opportunity. I think that would be something that I can't imagine it not making a very powerful impression on all who hear it, that understand what took place. So I was just, what a wonderful way to end, you know, the story, because it was very powerful, and I don't know too many powerful testimonies like that.
There aren't many.
That,
yeah.
With me.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You can't unsee in the spirit and the physical the impact it had to have.
It had great power. You know, he wasn't D.L. Moody, and he did, I'm sure, put that accent on that was very good. But he told the truth of, there's like an anointing on his life. So when you share that, his life, that anointing is still there. And it was really good. Really good. I have Jeff Mayon here. Not many bar owners pour their liquor down the drain. And that includes the last.
Right.
But Jeff Mayon did. Find out why that courageous act brought him something he always wanted. Invite your friends to hear this compelling true story. Now, John Holman, we were over John Holman's house, and across the street were some friends of John, where John lived. And somehow I ended up over there with John. He took me over to introduce me to his friend across the street. But Jeff was coming, and we were going to meet with Jeff at John's house. So we're across the street, and one guy who John didn't introduce me to him. He didn't live there, but he lived down in Harrisburg. And he said, somehow we got talking about, he's from Steelton, And Steelton had a huge steel factory. I mean, this factory was, it must have been a mile long, right along the Susquehanna River. It was huge. And that's where Jeff's bar was. The steel workers used to come to his bar. So we got talking, and I said, somehow, I don't know, I mentioned, yeah, a friend of ours is coming here. He's from Steelton. So the guy says, yeah, I might know him. What's his name? I said, Jeff Mahan. He said, Jeff Mahan? He said, yeah. He said, oh, I know him real good. He said, I know Jeff real well. We grew up together. And then he said, yeah, he had that bar in Steelton. I said, well, Jeff got rid of the bar, and he's a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The guy nearly swallowed his tongue. I can still see his face. He goes, what? I said, yeah, he's a preacher. Jeff Mahan is a preacher? Jeff Mahan from Steelton? I said, yeah. Now, I didn't know Jeff BC, you know, before Christ. I only knew him. I only knew him after he came to the Lord. No, you're kidding me. I said, no, he's a preacher of the gospel. He goes, I can't believe that. I can't believe Jeff Mahan is a preacher. So I told Jeff the story, and because he never talked that much about his past like that. So I told Jeff the story, and he goes, yeah, it was pretty rough. That bar was a pretty rough bar. And yeah, I could see how people would react like that if they hadn't seen me in a long time, and now I'm a preacher. Well, I'll never forget that. So that I'm telling that along with Unshackled. How Jeff, I mean, radically changed for the Lord, radically. And then you remember the story I told you about Paul, and Paul had the broken heart, and we were at a prayer meeting, and I heard him, he was incoherent when he was speaking. Do you remember that story I told about, the Lord healing? I prayed with Paul, and the Lord healed his broken heart.
Oh, the one whose daddy was so bad?
No, it was his mother. His mother had...
Oh, reject anemia.
Yeah. And I had prayed with him, and the Lord radically... I prayed for healing his broken heart. Well, Jeff was there with us. Jeff and Paul were great friends. But me and Jeff were good friends, but not... I had no contact with Paul. So, but Jeff was there that day when I prayed for Paul's broken heart, and God radically healed him. And Paul became a street preacher, and he led his mother to the Lord, and he preached. He was like a substitute preacher. He was involved in about a whole bunch of churches, and the pastors were going on vacation or something. They'd ask Paul to preach. Yeah, so Jeff was right there. He was right there when Paul was radically healed. Wow, this is good. This is like icing on the cake, you know?
Yeah, memory lane too.
Yeah, yeah. But I still remember the first time I went into Paul's house, literally the boxes were up to the ceiling. All the brochures. They were all over the living room and the kitchen and all. I didn't go. His bedroom was upstairs, so I don't know what was upstairs. But downstairs was just boxes to the ceiling of all the brochures. And he had been giving them away for years already, but he got a million. They paid for a million of them.
I think that's awesome. I really do. That reminds me of the little man on George Street. You know, he's all ready to go to pass out a one brochure or one notice and talk about God to one person a day. And just very, very powerful stories.
Yes.
And I also had lined up Christ's mastery over the fear and the fearful. And that was preached by Oral Roberts. So I still have some more. That one had 100,000 hits.
Yeah. So, I would like to hear that.
Yeah, that we got more that we can look into. This was excellent. I want to see what other, Sister Kathy, what other preachers of old, evangelists of old, and that part of that D.L. Moody series.
D.M. Bounds is awesome. R.A. Torrey's good. He does Job. He does James. He does he is awesome. But it's Doug Wheatley. And
now, is he the one that does every one of them?
Yeah. Yeah. Preachers of the Past is what the name of this thing is.
Okay.
The Preachers. Great Find, Kathy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, let's have prayer. And where are
okay,
thou?
Well, hold on a second. Twizzle says Bibi Netanyahu is having prostate surgery tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. It's not a good
sign. That's why he's been looking so bad, I guess.
It's not a good sign because they said they're going to remove his prostate. Mm-hmm. So that's usually, right. So that's not a good sign. So maybe we will pray and intercede for him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Yeah, this was excellent. Excellent, excellent, Sister Kathy. Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a keeper. Like Oral Roberts. It's like the
Top Chef.
Yeah, what do you call it? The Armenians. Yep. Yeah, the Armenians. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of them all right now. Yeah. All right. So let me lead in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for these wonderful, wonderful presentations we have, Lord, and history and the great revivals, Lord, Azusa Street, just so many things that we've watched, Lord. The revival of 1857, I remember that one, Lord. Armenia, just part one and part two. The Russian, what took place in Russia during the 1930s, amazing, Lord, under communism, amazing. So we thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We thank you, and I pray that everyone is edified. Everyone is edified would be the word. I know I was. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you. And Lord, we want to bring Prime Minister Netanyahu before you in this operation, Lord. It sounds serious. So we're asking, Lord, your blessings on him. So he may be been operated on already. But we're asking for his complete healing, Lord, that there'll be no after effects of this, Lord, that the operation will heal real, real quickly, no infection or anything like that. Lord, he's done, as the Prime Minister of Israel, since that attack on October 3rd, the position that Israel is in now shows that you've greatly blessed him. I mean, he's the commander-in-chief of the Israeli military, Lord. So it's amazing what Israel did with so little casualties, Lord. Amazing. And so your blessings is on Israel. I ask that as these nations are coming against Israel now, they will be dealt with one after the other. And you've anointed, he's your man for the hour, Lord. And even his own people tried to remove him. They tried everything, Lord. But he is your man that you wanted there, Lord, with the results that we see. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We're praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Lord. I'm asking it starts with the church there in Israel. And Lord, they do need work in the word there, Lord. They really do. They need grounding in your word, no doubt about it. So we ask, though, that you would send a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, end times revival there, just like you did in the day of Pentecost. The church was birthed right there in Jerusalem, Lord, and we pray here at the end, before Christ returned, that there would be another great outpouring in Israel. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
All right. We took up a lot of time tonight. We got 20 minutes left. So I'll come down. Yeah, I'll come down in line here. Paula Jean, would you lead us in prayer regarding the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, please?
Yes, Father God. You know your people are hungry to have more be your people. So I just cry out with all who are crying out to you that this great move of the Holy Spirit begin soon, soon, soon. I would like it to begin. My preference is in Africa, in Mokura Kayaba. I think that would be wonderful, Father, if we were to see an outbreak right there. And that's just because Chaplain John has prayed for so long for Mokura Kayaba and the souls that are there, still waiting patiently. And I pray that the reward be great. But the big thing is that your people need you. And they only come when people who are anointed invite them, or they are blessed to find a Bible and just simply Holy Spirit guides them to pick it up and read it and find what they need to know to repent and receive Jesus. But Father, the most powerful things that I've seen in life-changing moments are like what you're doing over there in Iran and the places where Christianity has been punished, and you are showing up. Where there are no leaders or teachers, you become the leader and the teacher personally. And we see that it changes hearts. It really makes a difference. And Father God, we want that difference to be happening across this nation, across the other nations, the world, your land, Father God, of Israel, before the big battle, Father God. We would love many, many souls to be saved for Jesus' return. And so, yes, every time we pray about for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Father God, I do pray that you are capturing those prayers and that they are speaking to you. But it is your timing. And we've learned through the years that your timing truly is the best, whether it makes sense to us or not. And so I'm saying definitely we are hungry for that great outpouring to begin. But I'm also trusting, Father God, that it's going to begin. Exactly when and how it is that you want for it to happen, because you know best. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Sharon, you're next.
Okay. Dear Father God, I am just so, so grateful to be here again with my fellow Christians, that we all come here to pray. We find out what other people need prayer for, and we can tell people what our needs are and stuff. And we all have needs for prayer and stuff. And we all need to feel the love that you have for us and stuff. And sometimes it's a little bit difficult. And we just want to pray for everything that's going on around the country with the extreme weather patterns and stuff, and what's going on over there in Texas and all along the East Coast of Kathy, where she's at. It's all sorts of rainy mess is what they're showing and stuff. So, of course, that can all change by the time we sleep tonight, and we will be comforted in your arms, dear Father God, and you will be holding us in your arms and stuff. And well, it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful feeling just to know how much that you do care for us and stuff. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for everybody who did come to the prayer service last night. And I just want to thank everybody for showing their concern and stuff. It was a rough night for me last night, very, very rough night. And I got through it with your help, dear Father God. And I'm just so grateful that I could get through it. And I am so looking forward to each and every service, studies, and everything that's going on with Chaplain John, with Nancy, and with everybody. I just pray for everybody's safety. And we have to work hard at this and stuff. And just pass out little pamphlets and the brochures and the different things that people can give to their children to read. I always say that might be the only thing that these children have to read and to learn to read from. And I'll tell you right now, dear Father God, that is a far cry from See Spot Run, Run Spot Run. And I just thank you, dear Father, that we can all come together and we can learn to read together and stuff. And I just thank you so much for all of this. And I just want to pray for, once again, for everybody's safety. I want everybody to think twice before they jump twice. You know, there's so much stuff going on out there that we just really need to be cautious and have you on our side. And in Jesus' name, in your holy name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Thank you. Okay, Gigi and Randy. All right. Well, you're waiting for you. Please, Sister Rita.
I'm sorry. Oh, let Rita go first.
Okay. Yeah, Rita, we want to focus on the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Clearly.
Sure.
Okay. Father, I thank you for this prayer line. And I thank you, Father, that you are my strength and you are my hope. I give you thanks, Father, for providing all my needs. And you are worthy, Father, to be praised, Father. And I praise you, Father. Father, I pray that you will forgive and have mercy on America. For America has legalized abortion, homosexualism, the marriages, pornography. And I pray, Father, that you will forgive us for these sins that we have legalized. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America, Father. And I pray that the Christians, to where an outpouring of the Holy Spirit would start, would be with the Christians. That we will, that are, instead of being lukewarm to your Son and to you, Father, that the Christians in America will love your Son and you with more each day. That we will not no longer be lukewarm. I pray that you give safety to Trump, Father, that you will protect him from the evil men and women of this world. As he goes into Washington, Father, they all seem to be gathered there. And I pray, Father, that you will guide and direct him in the direction that you would have him go, to have him lead America. I pray that you will strengthen and encourage and comfort President Trump and his wife and his children, Father, and grandchildren. And Father, I pray that you will protect and heal Israel, Father. I pray that the Christians in Israel that knows your son as their Savior will not be lukewarm to you, Father, or to your son. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. And I also pray for the IDF. I pray for the salvation of each and every single man and woman in the IDF, that they would know your son as their Savior before it's too late, Father. And mm-hmm. I pray for Netanyahu. I pray for the salvation of his soul. And I pray that you will heal him from this prostate surgery that he probably may have had already, Father. But you know where he's at with the surgery. And I'm asking, Father, that you would heal him and give him a good and a clean bill of health. And that I ask that you would strengthen him and encourage him, and that you would guide and direct how you want him to lead Israel. And I pray, Father, that you will also encourage and strengthen Netanyahu's wife and his children and grandchildren, Father. And I also pray for Chaplain John, Father.
Thank you.
That you would bless Chaplain John and Nancy, that you will strengthen and encourage both of them. And Father, I pray that you will anoint the brochures that Chaplain John has written in the books, and that many will come to know your son as their Savior, and that many hearts will be healed, Father. And also, Father, I ask that you would bless Chaplain John's finances. And Father, I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all of Abba Father Fellowship churches. And I pray for all the pastors that you would encourage, strengthen, guide, and direct all the pastors that are in this fellowship, Father. And I pray, Father, also that you would provide water, food, housing, and clothing to these poor churches in the Abba Father Fellowship. And Father, I pray I pray that you will strengthen and encourage Pastor Fred as he goes through this trying time of his children, of Kate and Nate, being in the hospital. And Father, it must be pretty bad for these two of his children being in the hospital as long as they have. I ask, Father, that you would heal them and strengthen their heart and encourage them, Father. And Father, I ask and pray for everyone that is online in the chat room. X, Facebook. And I pray that you bless every one of us, Father, and that you would strengthen, encourage each and every one of us, Father. For I ask this all in the holy and glorious name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All right. Gigi.
Yes, I will pray. If I start coughing, I'm going to have to mute myself. Okay? So you know,
All right.
Just in case. Sometimes I just start coughing and I can't stop for a while. And did you preach in Kenya?
No. I'm a little concerned about Pastor Zephaniah.
Oh.
You haven't heard from him?
No. No, I'm going to. Last time I heard from him was, I don't know. I'm here in Skype, and I can't pick the time the day he came. Monday is the last day.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll start by praying for him if that's okay.
Yeah, please. Amen.
Yes, he sent me. I think he sent me a lot of pictures, but that was from Uganda. But that was like on Monday.
Right.
He sent them a whole bunch of pictures to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have not heard from him since.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll go ahead and pray for him. And thank you, Rita, for covering all the topics.
Amen.
Great. So, Lord Jesus, first of all, we just want to thank you, Lord, that we have an incredible history to be able to reflect upon of all the history of all of the outpourings from the time of your birth until the present day, Lord. Thank you for the many encouragements that we have been able to listen to. We pray. We're grateful for these people that have gone before us, Lord, that were faithful, and just some of the amazing, incredible stories that have happened down through the ages, Lord. And we know that you are still at work in incredible ways. So we want to continue to pray for the outpouring that happened over Uganda. And we pray that that would continue and it would spread, and that you would comfort and provide for these people. They're very, very desperately poor and in need of everything, Lord. So we're just praying for mercy. Thank you that they responded and that they have come to you and they're praying as well. So we just pray protection and provision over them. We pray a blessing on the pastors there. And we pray that you would do miraculous wonders for them. And they need them, Lord. And we know that you are concerned about these people, and that is why you called them to yourself. So we just thank you and praise you for that. And we want to lift up Pastor Zephaniah and the church and his internet connections and he and his family and all the people all there in the area there. We don't know if there's a weather event or political things going on or maybe just power. But, Lord, we're praying for their protection and that he'd be able to contact John soon. And that whatever is trying to interfere with the meetings, that you would take care of that so that they can happen, and that your Holy Spirit would pour out on them in abundance. Lord, we're praying that the whole of Makoro Kayabi slum would come to you, and even the surrounding areas. So we pray protection on Pastor Zephaniah, the church, Pastor John there, and Gladys and their families and all the church members and all the other Bishop Omai and all the other people that are going to be involved in that. So we pray for their protection and a soon resolution of whatever is going on. And so we also want to pray over Pastor Jamil. And I was looking at that there is quite a lot of activities of military activities going on in Pakistan. I don't think it's near him. It's in a different section, but it still can interrupt their food chain and all other kinds of supplies. So we just want to pray protection over all of the believers and the pastors, and especially Pastor Jamil and his church and his family. And we thank you for all the rest of the Abba Father Fellowship pastors. We just continue to pray for outpourings over each and every one of them. We pray that you would
provide for them. We also want to pray for the orphanage there with Bishop Reinhardt, and that you would draw each and every one of those children to yourself, and that you would heal their broken hearts, Lord, and you would fill them with your presence and your love and your covering over them, Lord. We thank you for Bishop Reinhardt being faithful, and we pray that you provide him everything that he needs. Watch over he and his whole family, Lord, and all the churches that he's planted there. And Lord, we want to continue to pray over our country. And we pray in particular, Lord, there is so much wickedness that has gone on that we just want to repent. And it says that if we repent, you will listen and you will heal our land. But we need to repent, Lord. And as Rita prayed, all of these things that are terrible, Lord, that you would somehow, some way, reverse the laws, reverse people's attitudes. And more importantly, Lord, we're praying for an outpouring to spread throughout our whole country. And I want to thank you for this new law that got passed in California, reversing the previous one that they could go in and steal up to, I don't know, $950. But now they reversed that and they've made it a felony again for any stealing. So we thank you. That's a miracle. And so we want to pray over each and every state here. And we pray for the people that are still making efforts to some amazing grassroots people going around registering people to vote still. And so we thank you for all of those people that are dedicating their time and their efforts to do that. And there has been a change in people's hearts and minds and beliefs, and that they are waking up. So that's what we're praying for, Lord, especially among the young people, that you would wake them up, not just to a political system. You would wake them up for the need for you in their lives, Lord. So we're praying for this outpouring to be at every level, from children to the elderly and everyone in between. And we pray that there would be a continued turning from evil to you in a really unbelievable, unprecedented way. And I want to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on each and every one of us. And I want to thank you that yesterday we had a very, very nice conversation with a lady, and spent some time with her, and she is saved. So we thank you. We thank you for that. So we thank you for the opportunity to speak to her and encourage her. And so we're praying that each and every one of us would have those opportunities where it could just be in a place or a time you're not expecting it to be, so that it says that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Please send us, Lord, and please bring us people. And when we pray that, it happens. I know it happens. And so we want to pray also. I want to lift up each and every one of us have either family members that are not saved or friends that are not saved, maybe even neighbors that are not saved that we've been praying for, maybe even for years, Lord. And we want to pray that you would bring them to yourself. Some of them are doing wicked things. Some of them are just don't care, don't seem to care about anything. But, Lord, we're just asking you to show them that time is short and that they need to make a decision and that those people that we have witnessed to many times, Lord, bring other people to witness to them, and that they, their hearts would be softened, and that they would turn to you, Lord. Thank you for the increase in people purchasing Bibles. And we also want to repent for the reprobate churches that are around. We have so many of them here, but I know they're all over the place. So we pray that that there might be somehow, some way, Lord, that you would turn the hearts of these people. They're not worshiping the right God. They think they are, but they're not. And they're not believing in the Bible. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would convict them and bring them all to yourself. And only that can come really through an outpouring. So we want to thank you in advance for all the things that you're doing and that you will do and you have done in the past to encourage us to continue to pray. And, Lord, I want to pray for Nancy, that you would continue to heal her, and it would heal up in a perfect way so that there wouldn't be any after effects or any difficulties. And I also want to pray for John. John, I can't remember, you said it was like a nerve. You were going to have testing for that?
Yeah, my left hand.
Yeah. So, Lord, we are praying.
About half of my left hand is numb.
Right, because I know there's a special test that they can do where they go through your whole body and test.
Yeah, they're trying to.
Is that what you're going to have?
They're trying to. They'll start at my neck and follow the nerve down to see where the blockage is.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So, Lord, we are praying that he would be able to have that test sooner rather than later, and that they would find out exactly what it is. And if it needs an intervention, we pray that that would be quick and easy for him. But in the meantime, Lord, we're going to pray that you would heal it in the mighty name of Jesus. You are the God who heals us.
Amen.
And so we thank you that Amen. He found out and that he has somebody that knows what to do. And that's part of the battle. And so we're thanking you and we're praying that everything would come forth as a good result, Lord, and protect him too. And we continue to pray over the weather, over his area. And we pray for those people that were afflicted by these terrible weather incidences. And we're praying, Lord, that you would resolve all of these terrible and wicked things that they are doing all over our country. I know I talked to a friend of mine. They've been spraying their area every single day, and they've been spraying here every single day. And I think that they are on the increase because of the upcoming event. And so we're just praying that you would protect us and you would override the plans of the wicked to harm us. And that you would take care of these things, Lord. And I also want to lift up Sharon to you and continue to pray that you would strengthen her and encourage her and heal her in every way that she needs it, Lord. And we're praying for an outpouring over her in particular, Lord. She needs an outpouring and a healing, Lord.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
We just pray that. Amen. Mighty name of Jesus, and we pray over Bobby for his faithfulness to his mom.
Amen.
You would encourage him and strengthen him, Lord. And so we just want to praise you and thank you in advance for all the things that you are going to do. And we thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And Sister Kathy, did you get a chance to pray?
I didn't, but I'll just take 1 minute. Lord, I just want to thank you for tonight's program. I thank you for Doug Whitley, Lord, and all the programs he does that stresses evangelism. It makes us hungry for the next move of God, knowing
Amen.
The ones
Amen.
That came in the past. And so we pour out as a group, as a fellowship, our prayers and our petitions to bring the awakening, bring the renewal, bring the refreshing, God, and the revival that is due to come. Thank you for the political revival that we had, and thank you for the soon spiritual revival that will break, just like the Welsh revival and the Hebrides and Azusa Street, and we're just going to see that outpouring, that overflowing, that amazing move of your spirit, and we thank you, thank you, thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're running late, but if you've got to go, that's all right, because this is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hey, I want to pray for that cry unto the Lord prayer covenant. I want to close with that.
Amen.
And also, I was looking in my closing, you know, we used to open and close with Send the Fire. You remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I finish reading the prayer covenant, I'm going to close with Send the Fire.
Yay.
Abba Father, we come before you in the precious name. Whoops, let me get it over so you can follow me. Abba Father, we come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, understanding the hour in which we live. We see the day of the Lord approaching, and we are crying out to you according to your word. We cry out in repentance of our sins and the sins of our nation. We cry out for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We realize that time is short before the Lord Jesus comes for his bride. But according to your word, the outpouring of the Spirit will continue until he comes. We are humble before you with the manifest sins of our nations, recognizing how this offends your holiness. By faith, we ask for one more outpouring of the Holy Spirit, both to win untold numbers of souls for the Lord Jesus and to hold back the terrible spirit of Antichrist. With this mighty outpouring, we ask for the healing of the brokenhearted, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and the setting at liberty to them that are bruised. Abba, free us completely from the spirit of bondage and fear, and fill us with power, love, and a sound mind. Free us completely of unbelief and have us grow mighty in faith to please you. In the past, you sent many great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and we are asking our Abba for one more before the groom comes for his bride. The church was birthed with the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to go with you in that same power. The great outpouring first came to Jerusalem. We beseech you for another great outpouring of your spirit upon your people Israel, like you first sent 2,000 years ago. Abba Father, we love you as little children and believe the word with the same faith as children. We know when we ask our Abba that he hears us. Father, as the end grows near, it is like the days of Noah. To protect us from the wicked one and from the love of the world, we come under the power and authority of your word and your name. We are growing close to you for protection and asking that you heal all the broken hearts of your people, along with freeing us from bondage, so that the bride is ready for the groom. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim,
send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.